for our next podcast.
First one for the year?
First one for 2019. We have Jeanette, of course, the lady in charge of the microphone. We have Michelle.
Hello.
And we have me, Carolyn. February is the month that I am writing a new poem every single day. And I'm putting it on my writer's website and blog. I advise everyone to challenge themselves to do something that they didn't think they could do. You don't have time. All you need is 10 minutes to write a poem.
Do you have to have a particular topic, or are you allowed to just choose what you
want? Well, this thing is run by a lady who was the keynote speaker for the Adelaide Plains Festival of Words 2018, Catherine Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Parker and Paul, I've forgotten, and another lady, and they've got online kind of thing with a list of words. So it tells you what the word is for the day.
Oh, that sounds good. You'll have to flick me that link.
But I'm really excited about what I'm doing, and that's good. If you're excited by your writing, that's half the pay. That keeps you writing.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Michelle.
Me, my exciting news, what I've been doing. I started over the school holidays working on a young adult novel that I've been very, very keen about, and I actually sat down and wrote the first chapter as opposed to gathering all the evidence.
Mm-hmm. So I will talk about Gawler's news, which is the opening of the new library.
We loving that? And the cafe there, of course,
cafe
we're loving
is
that. It's beautiful.
Lovely. They make very nice coffee.
Indigenous things happening.
Yep, and it's beautiful new building. The library's stunning.
And the sunshine's streaming in. It's just gorgeous.
Light is stunning.
And
I am really excited
about the stonework, and it's just so they spent money, but hey, it's well worth it.
It's of course they've got to spend money. You have to.
It's something good. It's not a poky little place. It's lovely.
No. So I went along, and what I thought was really gorgeous was, remember the old library?
Yeah.
Every time you walked anywhere, all the floorboards creaked. So I'm walking along, and the floorboards. A lot of people don't like a shiny new look. I do. I think it works spectacularly well. I think it's inviting. It's fresh, and it's says we are committed to this community. When you put that kind of investment into a local library, I really believe that.
Always like a shiny new look, but they've done brilliantly.
They have done brilliantly.
It's stunning. Yeah. They've really good modern architecture, and they haven't ripped out heritage features. They've kept the heritage. They've got all those beautiful little old meeting rooms, and they've kept all that. I mean, it's beautiful, modern, and the two work really well. They harmonise. It's very difficult to do that. So I am so
impressed. If they don't,
and
if they just get lots of awards, I'll be going.
What a wonderful feeling when you walk in that door.
Yeah.
You just get a really good vibe walking in that door.
And the cafe is just a beautiful, embracing place.
It's lovely.
The lovely people running it.
Mm.
It's just, and the food is.
Like, honestly, go and have a look. Mm. It really is a delightful experience.
I've been there twice, and both times I've run into lots of people.
When I was there on Monday, I was talking to the mayor. And just sit down, have a coffee with the mayor, and it's just beautiful.
Beautiful
space.
Have you seen the youth space?
No.
I want to know why writers don't get a space like that. No, it's beautiful.
Library today because I naively just thought it was the library getting done up. I didn't realise it was the whole civic space. So I must go.
Anyway, we'll move on.
Moving on.
Writer's tip.
A writer's tip is give yourself time to write.
I agree.
Yes.
Set yourself a schedule. Yeah. Give yourself time to write and take it seriously. Seriously, even if you're only doing half an hour a day, take it seriously, because I think that is the problem when you're a writer. It's almost like a hobby that people put by the side.
It's so easy to do that, yes.
Okay, and word for the day, I thought this was brilliant, and it is relevant to today being St. Valentine's Day, is pig's knee.
Pig's knee, which is
pig's knee.
Really weird.
It's spelt P-I-G-S-N-E-Y, P-I-G-S-N-Y-E, P-I-G-S-N-I-E. It's a late Middle English word, so first found in Chaucer, so it goes back to Middle Ages, and it actually is a term of endearment.
Oh, charming. Do you call it
for a specially cherished girl or woman? It's mainly only used for women as an endearment for women, endearing term for women. So
if my husband called me a pig's knee, I'd think that'd be a slap in the face.
Unless you're watching Monkey, Monkey.
Pig's
knee. There's pigsy,
isn't it?
That's true.
I mean, we're of an age, obviously, because love watching Monkey.
Yes. Yeah, we need to do a cult TV club on Monkey soon.
Okay, so next time I see one of you, I'll just say, "How are you, my darling little pig's knee?" And you won't be offended.
Because I try and think you're trying to come on to me. Excuse me, no.
You could wish, Carolyn.
I'm married, hey. from what her definition was, then, yeah.
That was endeared. No, it's beloved or cherished.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, cherished. Yeah.
It did become a term of contempt later on, apparently.
Oh, sorry about
contempt.
That.
Contempt. Yeah. Well, I can imagine so.
So it was also used for a man or boy, but less commonly so as for women.
Okay. You call it little urchins, the cheeks or pig's knees.
Yeah, pig's knees. I'm going to try that. They'll love it.
I'd explain it to you. I'll explain it. I'll be like,
how are you, little pig's knees?
Okay.
And we're on to our topic. What a discussion.
It's Valentine's Day.
Yes, it's Valentine's Day, so I thought we should be topical and talk about romance in writing.
Romance, I have it a go at trying to become one of those well-paid Mills and Boons writers, and I quickly realised that even though I've read quite a few Mills and Boons books when I was a lot younger, I have such a level of contempt for the romantic processes that I can't get that mindset, and you have to have that mindset to be able to do it, and I'm too sarcastic, too snarky, too everything to be able to do it, because it's like, no, that's not me.
Yeah, I couldn't even read past the first page of one, so I gave up at that point.
Having said that, I've got romantic type things happening in my novel.
Where there's a story, it's fine. A book that's just romance doesn't interest me at all.
I want a plot with something actually happening.
Yes.
More than boy meets girl, they fall in love and they get married. I want a lot. I mean, that's just life.
And even, there's a whole marriage breakup storyline. Just that relationship focus story doesn't interest me, except for one exception probably is Anna Karenina, which I love. But that's very much a study of her mental state and the whole society of the period.
Well, I used to read Jane Eyre once a year.
But that's wonderful. That's so much more in that.
And the romance is not, but...
It's about her development as a human being.
It's a lot more than that to it. It was more about her than them.
I'm going to do a little bit of a stick up for the Mills and Boom, which means next week don't expect to hear me in the podcast. Suddenly I'll be booted.
No, my opinions are fine.
Yeah.
Although I completely agree with you. I would call it comfort reading. I would call it, escapist stuff.
Yeah.
I do have a real respect for the fact that this is basically a genre that's been around for a very long time and has provided a avenue for a lot of writers to exercise a craft within. And I do admire...
It's not easy at all.
I mean, I guess I'm one of those people that thinks, well, as long as people are reading, read. I remember looking myself into writing Mills and Boom, and one of the things that said, go and do a workshop and you follow a formula and you write to that formula.
And megabucks.
And I wanted to write a story. My Greek friend, she said to me, you should write a Mills and Boon. And I just roared with laughter because it's not like I've got a lot of romantic life. I thought it'd be really funny. I'd call it Nuts for My Baklava. We thought that was hilarious. But I did find it really interesting. And they said, oh, look, you have to read a whole bunch of them, And so I did. And the formula becomes really obvious. And I'm thinking, if you're perhaps at a time in your life you're not wanting to be surprised by anything, they are an excellent piece of literature. You know what you're going to get. I do think the heroic man concept galls me.
But there are many different options. Mills and Boons is way more than just man meets woman. These days, there are shades of other things happening.
It can be quite racy.
But
I think what I would hate is that that's the only thing seen as romance. And I think romance in writing can be utterly exquisite. We were talking today, weren't we, Jeanette, where I said I read a book, and for the life of me, I've even Googled it, I can't remember the title, about a woman who, due to a childhood tragedy, had developed OCD around counting things.
Okay.
A highly intelligent woman, all the rest of it. And
that sounds familiar. I may have read that one.
I think it's a very popular book, and it's annoying me, I can't remember the title. Anyway, she fell in love with this man, they had a relationship, and she started taking medication to manage the OCD without realising that part of that counting was an essential essence of her.
Yep.
She lost lots of other creative aspects of her life.
Yes.
And so the romance was actually around him accepting that this is who she was, and he did, and her being brave enough to be saying to him, actually, sorry, this is the package you're getting. And it really stuck with me, that book, because I thought it was a really lovely way, and the way it ended was delightful. It was about that acceptance. So I think, like with the Anna Karenina and with a lot of those romance books, I love a book where there is a good, strong romantic plot. Real. I think there is a lot of room for romance in writing. I would like to see people really moving away from that concept of all the problems are solved once a romance is formulated. And I'm working on a piece of work at the moment, and the end of the story is that she doesn't get the man, and then that's actually okay, because sometimes they don't, and sometimes they don't get the woman, or sometimes they do do, but all their problems don't disappear.
One of my challenges, I want to write a book about a happy relationship, long-term relationship.
Yeah.
There's nothing ever in literature about happy long-term relationships. And the closest I've got is the sequel to London Calling, where she meets this couple that have been together for years and years, and they are happy, but they're background. And the only way I can think of doing it is as background, have the long-term happy relationship. Because it is, as I say, it's conflict that makes the story.
Yeah.
So, and there's always conflict in any relationship, but it's not dominant. There's got to be something that generates the story. You can't just write about two people being happy.
So do you think, though, that part of the problem with, it's a bit like, you know, people watch TV shows with all the happy couples and they read books about all the happy couples. Do you think that's a little bit, sometimes literature presents a story that people then take on board and then they can become dissatisfied in their own relationships because they're reading about, I don't know.
If you think everything you read or watch on TV is true, then
I don't think much at all depicts happy couples, the falling in love thing and the hope, but you rarely ever see that as a couple that have been together for a long time and are happy.
But those people that have been together for a long time, and speaking of somebody who's been married to the same person more or less happily for 33 years, things happen. Bad things happen.
Oh, they do, absolutely.
But because you're a couple and you know each other, you just move together through them.
Yes.
And good things and bad things both happen, but you can just keep going because you know that you're there together.
Yes. Carol Shield, she does a magnificent job writing like that, where she really explores the way a couple operates.
Yeah.
And there's one of her books is where there's this element of perhaps adultery is going to be committed and it's not. And I know a friend of mine said, oh, that just made me so cross. She should have cheated on him. And I said, no, I thought the story was made stronger by the fact that she didn't cheat. I thought that would have been so passé. Instead, she explored the idea that actually there will be those moments, you know, and at some point the romance is the commitment. I think Carol Shields writes books extremely well, where she does explore couples that don't split up, that do stick together and do essentially make decisions that will lead to happiness in a... So I would like to see,
I've got the couple that are happy as the inspiration to the main character to see, you know, this is what you can achieve in life.
See, that couple have done lots of negotiations to get to that point.
Oh, yes, and that's...
Lots of negotiations.
Yes, yeah. But they're able to resolve those
conflicts.
They know
each other, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the hold of it? What is it?
Far From the Madding Crowd, Thomas Hardy.
I've read it. It must
do. You don't think of Thomas Hardy as a romantic writer, but of course relationships are the core, and most of the men badly. This is the last one I think where it ends well, and it is that the man is just always there,
far from the madding crowd.
He's not the romantic love interest. He's the one that's steadfast and loyal and sticks through, and it is that relationship that builds up through conflict, through things going wrong, and out of friendship they just become really good friends, and that's how that relationship, and to me that's probably one of the most believable relationships in literature. Yes. Was Jane Austen, they fall in love, but they think, do they actually talk to each other? Did they really know each other? And I love Jane Austen, but a lot of romance, you're sort of left thinking, when did they talk to each other? How do they actually know this person?
Yeah, I read a book recently in one of my book clubs. I won't mention it, but it was a new release in 2018. And in it, she had the main character, like just after a lifetime of tragedy, just fall instantly, passionately in love with this person within 30 seconds. And it was utterly annoying. I think the entire book club just kind of went, come on, we're a little bit more savvy than that now, you know?
Yeah.
I know another really good book that my grade 7 students have been reading is called Crush, and it's actually about a boy and a girl have a crush on each other, and it's an unhealthy relationship. But it's actually really exploring those concepts of what is romance. So essentially on the surface, he is doing many romantic things, which young girls perceive as they love me, but then below the surface, these romantic things like texting someone 15 to 25 times a day is actually not romantic. You know, I think we're getting a lot more savvy in our writing. I think we're exploring things a lot better. So I do enjoy a bit of a romantic exploration. And I don't mind a happy ending as long as it's not twee. You know, the whole let's get married and now they've had babies thing is...
So, I tend to satirise the buy me flowers thing too. I had a flatmate like that. As long as her boyfriend bought her flowers every day, everything was good in the relationship. No, that is not how you have a relationship. Oh, we should move on.
Okay. I've got just a little poem here to read.
Yep.
And this is one that I put into the January Malala Crossroad Chronicle. And it's in relation to something that I saw out in the sky, and I'll read it. Midday galahs, wing-angled flock, snow white, black, pink, as they flow across sky's azure blue backdrop, while southerly breezes are far too gentle to mask sun's heat.
Lovely.
And it was just that moment, and I could see it, and those galahs were there. And
I'll read, this is the two girls. They're totally sold on the idea of love, so they're believing themselves to be in love because they've got this fictional
concept, as you do when you're young.
So how old are these women? Young girls?
18, 19. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
When you really want to fall in love, and so you fix it on someone. A disappointment on checking the mail and finding only missives from home was bitter. We decided that day that neither James nor Alistair harboured any interest in us at all, and determined to erase them from our thoughts. That required some surgery, however, and was not easily done. Our first night in London was decidedly miserable. We were both rather wretched. The weather was dismal and Bess's was very depressing. However, the very next day's mail remedied our loss. It brought not one, but two postcards from James and a letter from Alistair. They both remembered when we would be getting back and didn't bother to write sooner. That was such a positive sign that we both danced in clouds all day, figuratively speaking. The immense joy we experienced was certainly akin to ethereal dancing. It separated us from the humdrum, filthy cement, brick and tile of our physical environment. All three missives were in essence rather slim pickings, but we made much of them, excusing our respective men's lack of verbosity. One can't write much on a postcard. Alistair never writes more than required. He expresses himself with extreme economy. What matters is they wrote. They're thinking of us and eager to meet again. Well, James thought of you at least twice. Alistair thought of me at least once. Don't, Jane, she threw a pillow at me. Just damn well write to the man. He's hankering after you. And I must confess, I was rather more pleased with Alistair's curt note than I was revealing. I went to sleep with a warm feeling deep inside that night.
Oh, how nice.
It all ends in tears, of course.
As well, actually, good romances do.
Yes. It doesn't even end particularly in tears. They just lose interest, which is actually more
That's worse. It's not even a great tragic breakup. No. It's just a...
One of them ends in tears and the other doesn't. One ends in worse than tears. Oh, listener's challenge. And, of course, the listener's challenge for this month, I think we all know what it's going to be. A lovely new library.
Oh, the library. Oh, my gosh. What a lovely place to be.
Yes.
Yep. You've got a library and you've got a cafe there. And every library should have a cafe next to it.
Yes, I've often thought that.
Because my favourite other library is the Tea Tree Gully Library. And they've got a cafe there. But the food at the Gawler Library, the cafe there, how Indigenous food's happening there, and it's just beautiful.
It is. Okay, we'll call it there.
Excellent, thank you.
Cool.